Good morning. 8:30, huh? Yeah, they say there comes a time in every man's life when he wakes up early in the morning and he's rubbing the sleep out of his eyes and he looks in the mirror and he says, "Dad?" Feel that way? So I feel a lot like my dad this morning. He's been here on several occasions, and he's now hanging out with Moses since 2011, and I miss him every day, so good to be back here representing the Thompson family and the ministry of Logoi. Shortly after my dad died, I went to be with my mom at her house for a little bit just to check on her, and the phone rang. Now, for you young people, this was a different type of phone. This was a phone that was actually stuck on the wall. And you had no idea who was calling. You actually had to walk up. You had to get off the couch and you had to walk up to the phone and pick it up and say hello because you didn't know who was there. So it was a very weird experience, something that you'll never understand really. There was a salesman on the other end and he said, "May I please speak to Les Thompson, my dad?" And I said, "I'm sorry, but he can't come to the phone right now. He's busy." And there was this pause, and he said, "All right." I said, "Do you know about how long he'll be?" And I said, "Well, he's talking to Moses, and you know that Moses guy, he can be a little long-winded." So there was another pause on the other end of the line, and he goes, "Well, I've only heard of one Moses." And I said, "Well, that's the one." and he still was wasn't able to quite figure things out, and he goes, "Should I wait?" And I said, "Absolutely, you should wait." And he says, "Well, about how long do you think he'll be?" And I said, "Forever." And with that, he hung up the phone, and we went on our way, and I put that thing back on the wall where it belonged. You've chosen a wonderful verse this morning, for your missions conference. And they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation." I'd like to tell you a little story that I hope illustrates this Bible verse. And so I have to take you to the city of Ushuaia. It's in southern Argentina. It's one of the southernmost cities. In fact, they claim it's the southernmost city in all the world. And Ushuaia, it's so far south that they only average 4 hours of sunlight a day. And it's one of those places where, you know, you're going to have night all the time and daylight some of the time, almost 24 hours, that type of thing. In this little town, there's about 80,000 people that live there today. In this little town is a man named Eduardo. And by the way, Ushuaia is a stop-off place where people go as they're going to the Antarctic. So in Ushuaia, there's this young man named Eduardo. And Eduardo is one of those men that the world was never very kind to. He was never very athletic, and he was a little portly growing up, and so the other kids would make fun of him. And as he grew older, he would try to compensate that at parties by being the one who drank the most and got the most crazy at the parties. And as time went on, he kept drinking, and it became a problem for him. As a young man, he could not hold down a job. And before long, he found out that, he found himself living on the streets. He was not a happy man, and he was stuck, didn't know how to get out. On the other side of Ushuaia is a young lady, the second person in this story. Her name is Sarita, and Sarita is a pretty young girl, but grew up in an angry home. Her dad was a very angry man. She never really felt that she understood what love is, and so perhaps you can understand a little bit why she looked for love in the arms of others. And as she grew older, one day she found that she was pregnant. When she could no longer hide it, her father beat her, kicked her out of the house, disowned her. She found herself alone, desperate, and pregnant. About 2.5 hours north of Ushuaia, there's a little church, a little bit smaller than this church, maybe about 150 would attend on a Sunday. And in that little church was a man named Claudio. And Claudio was 6'3" and about 120 pounds. This is a skinny, skinny man. He's so skinny that he has to run around in the shower, you know, to get wet. You know, if it wasn't for his Adam's apple, he would have no figure at all. This was a very skinny man. And Claudio grew up in a Christian home. He loved going to church. He loved God's word. He came to Christ at an early age. And now he's in his mid-20s, but he had this baby face. And so even though he was 25, 26 years old, he looked like he was 16 or 17, just this tall, skinny guy. But one day after church service, he went up to his pastor and he says, "Pastor," and pastors love this. He says, "Pastor, I think that God is calling me to ministry, to full-time ministry. And I just want to talk to you about it. I'm not quite sure what to do." So it just so happened that his pastor was one of our Logoi Bible students and how this whole story starts to come together. And because he's one of our Logoi Bible students, of course, he's extremely well-trained. He's an excellent pastor. He's good-looking. You know, all of these things, that is very important. And he put his arm around Claudio and he says, Claudio, don't you know that God only uses very talented, you know, well-fed people, not the you skinny people?" And no, he didn't say that. He rejoiced and he said, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful gift. The first thing we're going to do, we got some work to do. And so all of a sudden, Logoi had a new student named Claudio. Now, for those of you who are a little unfamiliar with Logoi, very quickly, our specialty is on-the-job Bible training for people like Claudio, for people like Claudio's pastor. Men and women that have a heart for the gospel, they love the Lord, they already live in their communities, they already can drink the water, they're already in some sort of service. And what they lack is Bible training, and that's where Logoi comes in. And so we don't do anything special with them. We just root them in God's word. We have all sorts of Bible courses and Bible resources for them, and then we let them go. And so that's what we do. And so all of a sudden we found out that we have a brand new Bible student named Claudio. So for time's sake, about a year goes by, and by this time Claudio feels that he is well trained and he's ready to go. And so the church has a celebration for him. They have a party. The church pulls together a meager budget for him as to send him away. And they send him off on a train to you already know where, Ushuaia. Claudio had visited there a few times as growing up, but didn't know anybody in the town. And so now all of a sudden, all of this Bible training that he has turns into practical theology. Because now you have to somehow put it to use. What are you going to do with all this stuff? I've got some book knowledge, but now it's practical. What do I do? So Claudio decided that, which by the way is a wonderful thing to do, he decided that he would walk the city in various parts of the town, and he would pray for that town. And his prayer was very simple. He says, "Lord, these people need you. You've ransomed them with your blood. And you've called people from every tribe and every language and every people group, every nation. And I'm claiming these people for you too. Lord, give me some way. Give me an opportunity to proclaim the gospel to these people. They're sheep without a shepherd. Let's help me find a way." So in one of his walks around the town, he comes up to this new part of an area he hadn't been before, and he notices at the end of the street there's this seedy little bar. Now, most preachers would know that the last place a preacher is supposed to go is a seedy little bar at the end of town. That's not the best place to be found for your reputation. And so Claudio was about to turn around and walk the other way when he just felt the Lord saying, "No, that's the spot. That's where I want you to go." So you can kind of see his Adam's apple, you know, bopping up and down as he's a little bit nervous about this. And so he walks up to this bar and he says, "Okay, Lord, if this is where you want me to go, I'll go in." And I know it didn't happen exactly this way. As my grandma said, the story has been embroidered just a little bit. But in my mind's eye, he's like John Wayne, where he kicks the door open, the doors fly open, and he walks in the bar and he goes, "I'm the new preacher in town. Who wants to get saved first?" Didn't happen exactly like that, but he did walk in and said, "I'm the new preacher in town. I'm here to help point you to Jesus." And everybody laughed at him, saw this skinny kid, and they wondered if he was even legally allowed to be in that bar with his baby face. And they hurled all sorts of insults at him and laughed at him. And finally, the bartender, he points in the corner. He goes, "Okay, tell you what, preacher. If you can save that guy in the corner, maybe we'll listen to you." Well, Claudio thought that was a rather specific answer to prayer. So he walks into the corner, and you already know who he meets. He meets Eduardo, the town drunk. He reaches down and introduces himself, and Eduardo is drunk, and he doesn't know what's going on. So he'd wait till he was sober, and he would introduce himself and tell him why he's there, and he's starting a new church, and he wants to tell you, "I want to tell you about Jesus. Jesus can bring hope to your life. He can bring joy to your life. He can give you purpose. He can save your soul. He loves you. He's claimed you. He's ransomed you." Day after day, he would go to this little bar to meet Eduardo, and Eduardo would get drunk, and Claudio would try to sober him up and tell him the gospel. Day after day turned into week after week, turned into month after month. Most of us would have said, I misinterpreted God. He didn't really want this to happen. I've given it the good college try. I get better, lick my wounds and move on to somebody else. But Claudio knew that this was what God wanted him to do. He kept at it. Until one day, Eduardo looks up at Claudio and says, "Do you really think Jesus would love somebody like me?" Oh, people, do you ever feel that way? We look so good sitting here in these pews and with our nice clothes and our nice cars and our lovely homes. And Jesus knows our hearts. He knows all about our thoughts and everything we've done. And if you're anything like me, you have to wonder, does Jesus really love somebody like me? Across town, we've already mentioned this young lady named Sarita. She meets Claudio shortly after Eduardo's conversion. And by this time, Claudio has opened a little storefront church. And the storefront church is filled with other Eduardos that they have heard this news. They've seen Eduardo's life being slowly transformed. And by the way, Eduardo's wasn't an instant conversion where everything all of a sudden from one day to the next was perfect. It was a slow transition because of years of abuse. And it took Eduardo a little bit of time. But in that time, people started to see this hope and this grace and this love and this new creation that God had made in Eduardo's life. And so other people on the street wanted to find out more. So they came to the skinny preacher's church to see if maybe they could be another Eduardo. One day, Claudio comes back from one of his walks. And there's this young lady standing with her little boy waiting for the skinny preacher to show up. He does. One look into Sarita's eyes and he knew that she had faced some of the most ugly things that a human can face in this world. He later learned or quickly learned that Sarita was there because she had had enough. She was planning on ending her life and was hoping that this skinny preacher would care for her little boy. Claudio said, "Sarita, you're welcome here. There's no condemnation. Let's just wait a little bit and let's come inside and let's talk and I want to introduce you to Jesus who can take your sin and your shame and cast it as far as the east is from the west." He can give you hope and purpose and joy. He can change your life. He loves you. All can be forgiven. Some of us are so wrapped up in our sin and shame, we don't know how to get out. We're stuck. Maybe it's not as ugly as something like Sarita has experienced, but we feel stuck. Don't know how to get out. It didn't take long for Sarita to come to terms with who Jesus was. She was desperate for true love, for real love. And when she heard the gospel, she gave her heart and her life to Jesus. And the angels once again rejoiced. And I forgot this part of the story because after Claudio first met Eduardo and Eduardo's conversion, Claudio walked back into that bar and he kicked those doors open and he said, "Who's next?" And so after Sarita, he walked back to that bar and he kicked those doors open again. And he said, "Who's next?" Well, Claudio did what his pastor did. For Claudio, all of a sudden, we had two new students in our Bible school, a young lady named Sarita and a young man named Eduardo. And they started taking our Bible courses and studying to learn what the Bible had to say and transforming their lives and giving their hearts and lives and souls to Jesus Christ and seeing what the future had for them. And it was all this exciting things. But one day, even in spite of our extremely well-crafted, beautiful, put-together Bible studies, Eduardo looks up and he notices that Sarita is kind of looking back at him, you know, the way a girl sometimes looks at a young man. And well, you know what's going to happen. They fall in love. So I'd like to introduce you to our Logoi Bible dating app. It's a very exciting new program for us. No, we don't have that. Sarita and Eduardo fall in love. Now, in case you think this story may be so outlandish that it can't possibly be true, excuse me. We have graduations. We still do these all throughout the world, the Spanish world. We're in 57 different countries, and most of our graduations, I get to speak via Zoom or something like that, and it's a lot of fun. But when we're able, we actually try to get to some of these. And my mom and dad were invited. They didn't know any of these stories at this time. My mom and dad were invited to Ushuaia to attend the graduation of Claudio's first graduation of his students in his school, in his little church. And there was about 20 of them now that were graduating, all of them Eduardo's and Sarita's, all of them with basically the same similar stories in one way or another. And so you can imagine the joy of this particular Bible school graduation. And Sarita was asked to say a few words at the graduation. And that's when this story was first told to my parents, her story. And my mom says there wasn't a dry eye in the place as she stood up in front of her friends and says, "You know my story. You know what Jesus has saved me from. You know that the joy that is now in my heart and in my life because of Jesus. And you know that my sin has been cast as far as the east is from the west, that Jesus has forgiven me, that I get to spend eternity with him. I get to hang out with Moses one day." And she says, "But I never thought that someone would love me. But Eduardo has asked me to marry him. We're going to be married. And I want you all to come to the wedding." So a wedding was planned. I don't think they had to send out any invitations. The entire town showed up to see this incredible marriage and what God had done in the lives of two of the most unlikeliest people on the planet. And for the first time, this young, skinny preacher had a full house where he was able to proclaim the gospel with two very live examples, actually a church full of examples of what God can do in people's lives, what God can do in your life, what God can do in my life if we will only believe and put our trust and our hope in Jesus Christ. Well, a little revival broke out in Ushuaia. That prayer that Claudio had been praying as he walked around the city was finally coming to realization. People could not believe the transformation in the lives of Claudio, or in the lives of Eduardo and Sarita. And I don't know the last words that Claudio said in his wedding message, but it had to be, who's next, right? But that's not the end of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Because we need to go up very quickly and do the backstory. How does all this happen? Well, there was a little church in Birmingham, Alabama, that I don't know how long ago, but maybe 30 years or so, took on the support of another skinny pastor at that time, my dad. And they said, okay, we want to proclaim the gospel. We believe that God has called people from every tribe, every nation, every people group. So we're going to take on the support of Les Thompson and Logoy, just like you've done with 57 other mission. And we're going to send you on your way. We're going to pray for you, support you, take care of you. So that young skinny pastor, my dad, goes all over Latin America, and one day he finds himself in Argentina and the Patagonia and trains this one pastor who's had a person in his church named Claudio who felt that he should be a preacher too. And so that church, because of a church that started in here in Birmingham and others, sends out another preacher named Claudio. Claudio goes and finds a couple of people named Eduardo and Sarita. And a revival breaks out in Ushuaia. Some 30 years later, 30, 40 years later, I get to come here and tell you, thank you. Good job. Keep it up. That's why you have missions. That's why you come to church, and that's why you give and have a faith promise. That's why you do all these things. Because God is at work, and you have the privilege and the joy of participating in the things that He's doing. So as I finish this message, I just have one question for you, and you can say it with me, right? Who's next? God bless you.